बार बार यही बार फॉर सो मेनी लाइफ टाइम्स रिपीटेडली आई रिजेक्टेड यू, आई हैव गॉन सो फार अवे फ्रॉम यू, लोहो निज साथ, बट नाउ प्लीज एक्सेप्ट मी, इनफ नाउ आई हैव सफर्ड इनफ, नाउ कृष्णा प्लीज एक्सेप्ट मी, आई डोंट वॉन्ट टू सफर एनी मोर. एंड नेक्स्ट लाइन इज सेइंग बहु योनि भ्रमिनाथ लोहिनु शरण, आफ्टर गोइंग थ्रू सो मेनी स्पीशीज ऑफ लाइफ फाइनली आई हैव गॉट योर शेल्टर. निज गुणे कृपा करो अधम तारण, यू आर द डिलीवरर ऑफ द फॉलन, प्लीज गिव मी ऑल द क्वालिटीज ऑफ अ डिवोटी एंड लेट मी टेक शेल्टर ऑफ यू. एंड द नेक्स्ट टू स्टैंडर्स आर वेरी वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग. ही इज सेइंग व्हाट विल हैपन टू मी माय डियर लॉर्ड इफ यू रिजेक्ट, इफ आई रिजेक्ट यू, यू नो जगत कारण तुम्ही जगत जीवन तम छाड़ करो नाई ए राधा रमन, ए राधा रमन लॉर्ड ऑफ राधा, यू आर द कॉज ऑफ दिस वर्ल्ड, जगत कारण तुम्ही, यू आर द लाइफ ऑफ दिस होल यूनिवर्स, तम छाड़ करो नाई ए राधा रमन, इफ आई गिव यू अप आई हैव नो होप, देर इज नो होप फॉर अस इफ वी गिव अप कृष्णा, वी विल सफर, वी हैव बीन सफरिंग फॉर सो मेनी लाइफ टाइम्स एंड नाउ आफ्टर हैविंग गॉट दिस रेयर ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ लाइफ इफ यू रिजेक्ट कृष्णा, इट इज जानिया शुनिया बिशा खाइनू, इट इज नोइंगली ड्रिंकिंग पॉइजन, इट इज वेरी अनफॉर्चुनेट, तम छाड़ करो नाई ए राधा नहीं या तुम छाड़ करो नाई, सो इफ आई गिव यू अप I have no hope. But if I give you up, I have no hope. But in the next stanza he is saying, but what if you give me up? Then it is gone. At least I have some hope because you have not given up on me. Bhuvana Mangala Tumi, Bhuvanera Pati. You are the most auspicious personality. You create auspiciousness. Tumi upa khile nata ki hoi be gati. What will be my fate? What will be our destination? If you reject us, if you neglect us, so therefore the devotee is beseeching the Lord that please give me your shelter. And then he is saying bhavya dekhinu yehi jagat majare tum bina keo nae e dasa udhare, that I have now realized that in this whole universe there is no one more merciful than you, you are the only hope, you are the only one who can deliver this fallen soul. So like this the Vaishnava bhajans offer us an opportunity to enter into the mood of prayers, because that is what we are supposed to do. Archanam, the process of serving Krishna, approaching Krishna and practicing devotional service through deity worship, essentially means increasing our remembrance of Krishna. Archanam is a process where we offer prayers, constant prayers, we chant Hare Krishna, we serve deities. So this is one of the nine ways that Sri Prahlad Maharaj has explained. श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्मरणम पादसेवनम अर्चनम वंदनम दास्यम सख्यम आत्मनिवेदनम. सो अर्चनम इज वन ऑफ द नाइन. सो ऑफ कोर्स फॉर दोज ऑफ अस हु हैव अटेंडेड द जर्नी ऑफ सेल्फ डिस्कवरी कोर्स, वी हैव ऑलरेडी फेमिलियराइज्ड आवरसेल्व्स विद द कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ डीटीज अर्चनम एज बीइंग डिफरेंट फ्रॉम आइडल वर्शिप. जनरली पीपल ऑफर थ्री ऑब्जेक्शंस. When we talk about deities, people generally have commonly three objections about deity worship. First, they say, why do you worship an idol? Murti puja. So Srila Prabhupada has very emphatically and very logically explained how idol worship we don't do. We are doing deity worship. Archa vigraha, we worship the sanctified form of the Lord. And the difference between an idol and a deity is the same like the difference between a post box which is sanctioned by the government. I don't know when was the last time I used a post box. Nowadays we send letters through electronic mail. But there is a post box just outside this temple that is issued by the government, red colored post box. So when you put letter in that post box, it reaches to the destination. But if you take a red colored box and paint it nicely and put it outside your house and put a letter inside that, will that carry to your destination? No. Because it is not sanctified by the government. It is not sanctioned by the government. Similarly, an idol is like a murti or a stone which a person concocts by his own whims and fancies. Whereas a deity is sanctified form of the Lord, authorized through the process of prana pratishtha, where a pure devotee of the Lord invites the Lord and then the Lord resides in that deity, and then that deity reciprocates with the devotee the same way as Krishna would. In fact, the deity becomes non-different from Krishna. in the journey of self-discovery courses, we would do something sensational. I stopped doing that now. Once, you know, we would give 500 rupee note. What I did once was, I took inspiration from my friend Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and I gave 500 rupee note. We took a color xerox of that and gave it to one of the students, already participants in the JSD course, and told him, you keep it in your pocket, and when I ask anybody has 500 rupee note, you give it. So he said okay. So now people didn't know anything. So I said DT and idle is different, postbox, this example. Then I said it is just like paper. So I took a paper, I said, paper, this is ordinary paper, and can you tear it? I gave it to one person, he tore it. I said, any problem in tearing paper? No. Then I said, anybody has 500 rupee note here? And immediately this boy, I had already planned, he raised his hand. I said, give. So he gave. It was color xerox actually, but people can't make out from far. So I said, see, this is 500 rupee note, this is also paper, can you tear it? Should I tear it? Paper, that is also paper, this is also paper. And then I tore it. And people, you know, they so confused they were. They thought it is a joke, but nobody tears 500 rupee note. They became so nervous. Their facial expressions, I can never forget. I used to look at everyone. So many expressions on their faces. Confused, some were angry, some were disgusted, some were shocked. And then I said, it's a color photocopy. As soon as I said that it's a color xerox, relief. So what is the difference between an ordinary paper and a 500 rupee note? That is also paper only. That is sanctioned by the Reserve Bank of India. It has the purchasing power capacity. 500 rupee note. So it's not paper, it's different. It's paper but different. Similarly, an idol is something which is like ordinary stone, marble, ordinary. But DT is sanctified. It's like the 500 rupee note. It can, DTs can actually help us connect to Krishna. So therefore, we should know that first objection is overruled. It's not idol worship, it's DT worship. And difference, how do we know? We have to follow the process of Krishna consciousness and experience that reciprocation. Like, you know, our I don't have any knowledge about mechanic, car, automobile. So if the car engine is making sound, I don't know, I can't make out whether it is in proper condition or whether it is spoiled. Those sounds I cannot make out, but an expert mechanic can make out. When the sound is there, he can make out ki abhi kharab ho gaya engine ya theek hai. Similarly, you know, we need education, training to understand what is idle, what is DT. We need to follow a process. We need to go through that. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu very beautifully written a book 5 years ago, Idol Worship or Ideal Worship. I always give that book to people who come and argue with me. Very nice book. Very logically has answered all the questions. I strongly recommend devotees to read that book. So there he says a very good example, because he is a scientist. So he explains quantum physics. He says quantum physics is such a big field that even if you are a physics student, you cannot argue with a quantum physicist. He will say first you have to go through 8 years of re-education. Even if you are a PhD in physics, you have to go through 8 years of re-education. Then you can discuss with quantum physicist. If you go and tell a quantum physicist that your quantum physics is bekar hai, he will say you are not qualified to discuss, get lost. So if for a material subject you need 8 years of education, training to discuss, so naturally to understand deity worship, which is such a deep, sublime spiritual science, you have to go through education, you have to go through a process, you have to go through training, and then we can have a debate or then we can discuss. So one cannot just barge into a debate dismissing the relevance, the sanctity of deities. So this is one of the very important points. And the second objection is, people say, okay, DT, idol, that's okay, but first of all, why you have this form when God doesn't have a form? How can you depict him in a form? Now for this, our answer is, who says God doesn't have a form? Scriptures say God has form also and is formless also, both. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam ek jnanam advayam ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवान इति शब्द देते. गॉड हैज थ्री एस्पेक्ट्स, द फॉर्मलेस एस्पेक्ट, द लोकलाइज्ड एस्पेक्ट एंड द पर्सनल फॉर्म, इजंट इट? जस्ट लाइक सन, सन हैज फॉर्मलेस एस्पेक्ट, सनशाइन इज फॉर्मलेस, बट दैट इज एनर्जी ऑफ सन. सो व्हेन देयर इज सनशाइन इन योर रूम इन द आफ्टरनून एट 12 o'clock, एंड व्हेन यू सी द सनशाइन यू से सन इज देयर, बट सन इज नॉट देयर, बिकॉज इफ द सन एक्चुअली कम्स वी विल ऑल बी बर्न्ड टू एशेस. Sun is there but not there. How is the sun present? Through sunshine. Sunshine is formless. So that is one aspect, Brahman aspect of God, God's formless aspect. God is present throughout the creation in the form of his energy. Second is, just like sun has a localized, you know, through a telescope you can see the sun's layer, sun's planet. And that is like understanding the Paramatma within the heart. The localized aspect of God. God resides in this whole creation as Brahman. He also resides in our hearts as Paramatma. And then, there is a third aspect to the sun. Somebody is actually qualified, could go to the sun planet and meet Mr. Vivashwan, who is the presiding deity of the sun planet, the demigod. Similarly, one can understand the absolute truth in its most personal aspect as Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan aspect. So Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, there are three aspects to the absolute truth. So like this, so God has form and God is also formless. Both are true. Because if you say God is formless, that means God is less than his own creation. How can God should include both if he has to be complete. And form does not limit God. Actually it is matter that limits God. If you are working in your office and a building has form, so you say that form is limited, but does that mean if the building crashes and it becomes in a bomb explosion, it explodes and it all becomes a debris, pura toot phut gaya, it becomes formless? Does that formless thing of your building now become unlimited? No. Formless is also limited. Basically, formless form is not the question. Matter is limited. When we understand God's form is spiritual, is not matter. Is sat chit ananda. It is anti-matter, opposite of matter. Then he can have a form and that form is unlimited. That is the quality of spirit. So like this we have to understand. So somebody may say, but other scriptures say, other religions say God has no form. No, other religions also say God has form. It is just that it is not highlighted because of certain reasons. Because their capacity of the audience to understand is not so deep. Like if you see in the Bible, you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu's book so many quotations from the Bible which say God has form. He is quoting all the different chapters of Bible, Numbers, Ezekiel, John, Genesis, and all the numbers are there, this chapter, this verse. Even in the Holy Quran, the second chapter of Quran is Al-Baqarah, Holy Cow. The 138th ayat, Quran, just like we have chapter and verse, in the Quran there is Surah, Surah means the chapter and ayat is the verse. So 2.138 says, Ma sibgat Allah wa manhasanu minallahi sibgatha. Which means, I learnt it many times. It took me a long time to learn this. And this is the only verse I know of the Quran. Because this verse is very interesting. It says, Prophet Muhammad is telling, you know, in the Quran it's mentioned, Ma sibgat Allah. Ki we have derived our color from Allah. We are the same color as Allah. And who is more expert than Allah in coloring? Sibgat word is very important here, which means color. So, and that time Prophet Muhammad was from the Qureshi tribe, and these people, you know, they were staying at the region where they were staying, they had the color of they had brownish complexion. So they are saying, so this verse alludes to the fact that the Supreme Lord has a complexion like the dark monsoon cloud. Yes, he has got a Krishna Varana, you know, he has got that is indicated. And not just the Bible and the Quran, even the Hadiths. Hadiths are like, you know, they are the teachings and sayings of Prophet Muhammad. So according to Muslims, there are six principal Hadiths. And Shahih al-Bukhari and Shahih al-Imam are the main books. And those books, you will find innumerable references to Allah's hand, Allah's leg, Allah's throne. He's sitting on a throne. That means he has a form. We may not be able to see it. That's another subject. And I read myself, you know, in Shahih al-Bukhari, I read the references explaining how God is, there is one verse which says, God is holding the whole world with a small finger of his hand. Then I remembered the Govardhan pastime. You know? So if he has a finger, that means he has a hand, that means he is a person. He has a form. Somebody may say, but why then they don't talk about it? Because, you know, Jesus Christ in the book of John, Bible, he's telling his folks, his people, that there is so much more I have to tell you, but you'll not be able to bear it. They didn't have the capacity to understand. So the prophets, the messengers of God, they are very highly qualified, but their audience is not qualified. So according to Desha Kala Patra, time, place and circumstances, they reveal the knowledge that the audience can digest. That's why Jesus Christ, although he was self-realized, he didn't reveal this knowledge. Same thing with Prophet Muhammad. The hadiths explain how he received three kinds of knowledge from Allah. One, he was told to reveal to his audience. The second, he was told he had a choice to reveal or not reveal. And third, he was forbidden from revealing. So like this, so according to the time, place and circumstances, the Lord reveals the message. So like this, this is the second point to understand that God has a form. And the Bhagavad Gita very clearly explains that if you want to approach the Supreme Lord, impersonal path is full of difficulties. Klesho diktarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavadbir avapyate. It's full of klesha. Adik klesha. Klesha adiktarastesham avyakta. If you get attached to the impersonal, formless aspect of God, full of difficulties. Not only for yourself, you make others' life also difficult. That is what is happening. We are seeing. So God has a beautiful form, the scriptures reveal. And we have to go through those scriptures which have described God's form and understand. Like the Srimad Bhagavatam is that scripture which reveals. Shamam hiranya paridim vanamalya barha dhatu pravala natave shamanu vratamse vinyasta hastaitarena dhunanam abjam karnot palalaka kapola mukhabjahasam. When Krishna and his coward boyfriends are in Vrindavan, the Brahman patnis come with lot of bhoga, lot of offerings for Krishna. So the description is given by Shukadeva Goswami that what did this Brahman patnis see? Shamam Hiranya Paridim, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Shamavarna, and Hiranya Paridim, he was wearing golden colored clothes. Shamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamala Baraha. He had one mala, he had a garland made of forest flowers, and Baraha, he had a beautiful peacock feather on his forehead, on his head, on his hair. Dhatu Pravala Natave Shamanu Vratamse. And his body was smeared with the dust of Vrindavan, and that was adding to his beauty. He was looking exquisitely beautiful. Natavesham Anuvratam se. He was dressed like an expert actor. Vinyasta hasta itarena dhunanam abjam. And vinyasta hasta, one hand was on the shoulder of his friend, and with the other, he was twirling a lotus flower very gracefully, very delicately, extremely dexterous. Vinyasta hasta itarena dhunanam abjam and karunot palalaka kapola mukhabjahasam. And on his ears there are beautiful lilies, beautiful flowers, mukhabjahasam, and an enchanting smile on his lips. So this is the form of God, and the deities are carved based on this form described in the scriptures, so that we can also develop attraction to Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto describes how this Krishna, beautiful Krishna, enters Vrindavan. Baraha pidam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaran bibradavasa kanaka kapisam vaijayanti chamalam randran venu radhara sudaya parayan gopa vrinder vrindaranyam sapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. When Krishna enters Vrindavan, everyone is singing his glories. Everyone is welcoming Krishna, who is entering Baraha Pidam. He has got a beautiful peacock feather. Natavara Vapu, dressed like an actor. Beautiful clothes. Karanayo, Karanikaram, his ears, face, everything is decorated beautifully. And Bibrada Vasa, Kanaka Kapisam, again dazzling, lightning colored clothes. Vaijayanti Chamala, he has a Vaijayanti Mala on his neck. Randran Venur Adhara Sudaya, through his lips he is playing the flute. And adhara, so the flute is put on his adhara lips, and that is nectar, sudha. He is putting nectar of his lips into the holes of the flute, and that sound is emitting in all direction. Parayan gopa vrindeer, it is completely enchanted, the gopa and the gopis. And that's how sapada ramanam, vrindavanam sapada ramanam, Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan and entering pravishad gita kirti. So this is Krishna, the most attractive, most complete form of God. So when we approach Krishna in this form as a deity, in his form as a deity, and offer prayers and pray to him, then we also develop the same attraction like the Vrajavasis have for Krishna. So deity worship is a very, very bona fide process. And the third objection people give is, oh, if deity is non-different from Krishna, then why deity cannot save itself from a mosquito that comes? Why deities have been desecrated and demolished? Why the deities can't put? No, that we have to understand. That is not the purpose of the incarnation of deity. When Krishna comes as a deity, the main, the function or the role of the deity incarnation is not to perform miracles. If miracles happen, that is causeless mercy. The main function of a deity, the main way Krishna manifests as a deity, the main reason is to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. It is, see, in this material world we have come because we have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. And we want to be God. And to play God, we need to do some things. So we have, so there are people who will vandalize, who will desecrate, but that doesn't diminish the potency of the deity. It just shows the atheism of the people, those who are doing like that. But deity is reciprocating perfectly with the devotees, and that function deities are doing perfectly. Krishna does that in the form of his deity. Just like in some other religions, they may not worship deities, but they have idol worship. They have their books, they'll worship like anything. They have their holy cross. That's all idol worship. Because the proof is, you tell them to desecrate it, you tell them to make it contaminated, they will not do that. That means it's reverential for them, it's worshipable for them. That means it's not different from the Lord's energy. But are there not people who have burned their religious books? So if the book is so powerful, how could it be burnt? It is burnt. But the potency of the book is not lost because it is burnt. There are people who were reading the book and their hearts are changing. For the good or the bad, we don't know. But it's changing. So the book's potency is determined not by its capacity to protect itself from being burnt, but by its power to transform the heart. Similarly, the deity's potency is determined not by the deity jumping and doing some miracle. Deity's potency is determined by the logic of love. How, when a devotee approaches the Lord with love, and how his or her heart transforms. So this is the third point that we have to understand, that deities are always reciprocating. And Krishna has explained, the Brahma Samhita explains, Anganiyasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. Krishna's senses are transcendental. When we offer food, Krishna sees the food. And by accepting that prasad, we undergo a change in our consciousness. So deities are fully reciprocating. So each, like, you know, for example, prasad is also not different from Krishna, but prasad has a certain function to nourish us spiritually. If somebody overeats and then gets diarrhea, he cannot say that how prasadam causes this, you know. Or if somebody, holy name is also not different from Krishna. If somebody is chanting holy name and praying intensely to get a job and he doesn't get a job, he can't say, holy name is not different from Krishna, but I'm not getting job. No. Holy name's potency, or holy name's Krishna is incarnated to purify our hearts and develop love for Krishna. So similarly, deity's main purpose is to invoke this, to revive our dormant love for Krishna. So like this. And we have so many pastimes in our scriptures, in our tradition, in our history, of how deities reciprocate. Even with a small child, Raghunandan was the son of Mukunda, was a doctor. And he once went out and he told his son to offer bhoga to the deities, which his mother had cooked. And he was a small boy, he didn't know all the technical details. He asked his father, what should I do? His father said, just tell Gopinath to eat. Gopinath will eat. So he closed the door, kept the bhoga in the altar, and said, Gopinath, eat. But he was so intensely praying, and Gopinath, of course, externally you don't see the Lord coming and eating. If Lord starts coming and eating everything, then I don't know how many of us will offer. Like some years ago when Ganpati started drinking milk, that has become a big news. So Krishna was standing there, and Raghunandan started crying, "Krishna, Gopinath, please eat, eat, eat." Because he's seeing the food is there. He thought eating means Gopinath will eat everything. So Gopinath, finally seeing the intensity of the child, he said, "My dear Raghunandan, I've already eaten it. And deities don't eat like this." So he said, "If deities can talk, can eat also. So eat." He said, "No, I've seen it, so I'm as good as eating it." So then Raghunandan said, "I don't understand all this philosophy. So you eat, because my father has told me to feed you." Seeing his simplicity and devotion, actually Gopinath came off the altar and ate that. And then his mother was surprised. There is no prasad. And when his father came, Mukunda came back, Raghunandan's mother told him that today there is no prasad because Gopinath ate everything. That's what your son is saying, Raghunandan is saying. And then Mukunda knew his son is very highly devotional. So then he told his son to offer a laddu to Gopinath. He offered that laddu, and Mukunda was watching from outside. And Gopinath came to the altar, he took half laddu, and then when he took half, he saw Mukunda is seeing, and immediately he went back. So then Mukunda understood his son's devotion. That laddu is still kept in Shikhanda. They have kept that in honor of that pastime. So like this, deities reciprocate. That is their Krishna's kindness. But for most of us, it is the experience in the heart that proves the process of Archanam as most scientific. And that experience is the best way to get convinced. Sometimes people say, "Does God exist?" So many arguments they give. But all the arguments, you know, we may give counter argument. Like these three objections I addressed today, somebody may come up with three more. There is no end to debate. But the best way to answer all this is what? Experience. You can't deny the experience you feel. Actually, Burijan Prabhu and Jagattarini Mataji, Burijan Prabhu is one of ISKCON gurus, very highly learned, accomplished teacher of Bhakti Shastri. He has a very nice counseling remedy. Whenever anybody comes to him for counseling, to him or his wife, they have a very nice answer. People are emotionally disturbed, suffering they go through. He tells them, just go in front of Krishna Balaram deity, and just share your heart. They are the best counselors, Krishna and Balaram. So he would say, go, stand in front of the deities, offer prayers, and you will be alright. And believe me, many devotees have watched for this, that they spend time in front of the deities, they offer prayers, they feel Krishna is there, they feel Krishna listens to them. Even Devamrit Maharaj has written a book, Bhakti Bhava, very nice book, the emotional dynamics of being a devotee. And he writes very emphatically, stare at the deities. He writes that word. He says, just spend time, basically saying, just spend time with the deities, go in front of the deities, offer prayers. Then you will feel sheltered, you will feel protected. Like Srila Prabhupada was once going with Brahmananda Prabhu. He told Brahmananda, they were on the bank of the ocean. He told Brahmananda Prabhu, catch that crab. So Brahmananda Prabhu went to the ocean, he tried to catch that crab, but the crab escaped and Brahmananda Prabhu fell. He was a huge, 6 foot tall, big. And he fell on the water and he completely became wet. And then he was wondering why Prabhupada made him do that exercise. And then Prabhupada explained, see, you are so big, so huge, and crab is so small, but you could not catch it because the crab has taken shelter of the ocean and the crab could easily escape you. Similarly, we are like that crab, all of us. We are small. And Maya is like that Brahmananda Prabhu, tall, big, huge. So we are tiny compared to Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. But if we take shelter of the ocean, Karuna Sindhu, the Prem Nidhi, the ocean of love, the ocean of mercy, Krishna, then we will also feel shelter. We will be protected. So therefore Devamrita Maharaj is saying, come, spend time with the deities. All ISKCON leaders, you know, those who have, in fact all our acharyas, if you see, in our parampara, so many, all acharyas have taken shelter of deities, they have worshipped deities. In fact, one of the grihasthas was telling me, his son, you know, how he has trained his son. Now, some devotees have a challenge. They become initiated, and their children, they don't take up to Krishna consciousness with the same enthusiasm. They may not be chanting 16 rounds. So he said, Prabhu, I knew that my son may not become a 16 rounder, pakka, initiated devotee. So from beginning, I didn't force him for all the typical ISKCON standards. What I would do was, I always encouraged him to get attached to DTs. And he would, every day, anything he would do, the training was you have to offer to DTs. So if you get chocolates, anything he gets, first Krishna. Then, even his exam, the hall ticket, first he will, everything he has to report to Krishna. First he has to give Krishna. So he has got so habituated and conditioned, now he's 18, 19 years old. He says he's so attached to Krishna. He may not be a conventional, devotee in the sense, 16 rounder and all that. But he's so attached to Krishna because his father is saying, I am so confident of my son, he will never do anything wrong because everything he has to report to Krishna. So if he does anything illicit wrong, his conscience won't allow because he has to come in the morning and report. So I found it so nice. This is a very practical way how DT worship and Archanam helps. So if you have DTs at home or we get attached to DTs, and this is our acharyas have, all this is Goswamis were serving DTs. Sanatan Goswami was in Vrindavan, and Advaita Acharya had given a DT to Purushottam Chobe, Madan Gopal DT, which Purushottam Chobe was worshipping. One day Sanatan Goswami was doing bhajan, he saw a group of boys playing, and one particular boy in that group was so enchantingly beautiful. Sanatan Goswami kept staring at him, looking at him for hours. And after the game, all the boys dispersed, and Sanatan Goswami began following this boy. And the boy went through all the lanes and gullies of Vrindavan, and Sanatan Goswami went behind him. And this boy entered Madan Gopal temple and directly into the altar. And when Sanatan Goswami entered, he saw this boy is not there. Then he realized that this is actually Madan Gopal. And then in the night, he was intensely remembering this child. He was crying, remembering. Just like, we get hounded by desires for sense gratification. And we are completely bewildered. The pure devotee is spiritually bewildered and enchanted by Krishna. So he was constantly remembering this form. And then Madan Gopal came in the dream of Sanatan Goswami and said, and simultaneously came in the dream of Purushottam Chobe also. And he told Purushottam Chobe that, you have worshipped me and served me for so long, I'm very pleased with you. Now let Sanatan Goswami, this Babaji, worship me. Meanwhile, he appeared in the dream of Sanatan Goswami and told him, you approach this Purushottam Chobe and ask him to give me, and I want to be served by you. So this is how Sanatan Goswami worship Madan Mohan. And then we have Rupa Goswami. He was constantly in anxiety. Where is Radha Govinda? He was ordered by Lord Chaitanya to excavate and search for the lost places and get the deities. And he was wondering, where is Krishna? Where am I not finding? Why am I not finding Radha Govinda? And one day, one boy came and told him, see that Gomati Til, there is a special mound of earth where a cow, very special cow, comes and offers milk to that Gomati Til. So he went, and Rupa Goswami was amazed to see this cow every day coming and pouring milk. So he knew that there is something special here. And then with the help of Brijvasis, when they opened it and they saw there is this beautiful Radha Govinda deity. And when this news reached Lord Chaitanya, he was in Jagannathpuri that time, he sent Kashishwar Pandit, you go and assist Rupa Goswami. Kashishwar Pandit is amazing. He was the servant of Ishwarapuri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Then he becomes servant of Lord Chaitanya, means he serves his spiritual master, then he serves his god brother. Then he serves Lord Chaitanya's disciple, Rupa Goswami. He goes and assists him. So Kashishwar Pandit initially is very sad because he doesn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya's association. So Lord Chaitanya gives him his own DT of Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna's forms are there, Gaur Govinda DT, that is there in Radha Govinda temple. So like this. Then we have Loknath Goswami. He was at Khadiravan, at Kishori Kund, and then one Brahmin came and gave him a cloth, and he opened the cloth and he saw Krishna's deity, and the deity spoke, I am Radha Vinod, I want to be served by you. So he got deity. Jiva Goswami was, Rupa Goswami had carved Radha Damodar, and Jiva Goswami, such a great scholar, but he would humbly, menially assist Rupa Goswami in his deity worship of Radha Damodar. He would get paraphernalia, clean the pots, do all the seva. Radha Raman, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he had Shaligram Shilas, and he was saying, I want to offer you worship, I want to offer elaborate worship, but Shaligram Shilas have their limitations in terms of decoration, in terms of this. So he was praying, and then after Narasimha Chaturdashi, when he was coming back after his bath in Yamuna, one of those Damodar Shila, one of those Shaligram Shila, Damodar Shila, that Shila transformed into Radha Raman, the most beautiful deity in Vrindavan. And all the acharyas unanimously said that Radha Madan Mohan's face is exact, lotus feet is exactly like Krishna's lotus feet. Radha Govind's chest and waist is exactly like Krishna's. And Radha Gopinath deity, which is Madhu Pandit's deity, is exactly as a face like Krishna. And Radha Raman has all the three. Lotus feet like Madan Mohan, the waist and chest like Radha Govind, and face like Radha Gopinath. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami worship deities like this. All acharyas were attached to deities, and that is the way we come more closer to Krishna. Rupa Goswami says that if you get attached to Krishna, Radha Govinda, and if you worship them, we will lose all material attachment. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamsi nesto dara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakhyam hari tanumiya keshi tirto pakante मा प्रेक्षिष्ठा स्तव सखे यदि बंधु संगे स्त्री रंगे. He is saying in this beautiful verse, one gopi is talking to another gopi that smiram bhangi traya parijitam sachi vistirna drishtim. See this boy who is as a threefold bending form, who is casting loving glances, sidelong glances. Vamsi nesto dara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena. He is on the full moon night. Don't go Keshi Tirthopa Kante. Don't go on the banks of Yamuna at the Keshi Ghat on the full moon night. There you will see this covered boy Krishna in his threefold bending form playing his flute. Govindakhyam Hari Tanumaya Keshi Tirtho. Govinda, his name is Govinda. Ma Prekshishtastava Sakhe Yadi Bandhu Sange Stri Rangi. If you are attached to your family and friends, don't go there. Rupa Goswami is saying, in a sense, he is saying, if you go there, you will lose all your attachment. In other words, he is encouraging us to go there and get attached to Krishna. So like this, when we get attached to Krishna's beautiful, transcendental, deity form, we experience love in our heart. And when there is love, then all problems solved. There is one lady, this is a true incident, Radha Madan Mohan deity in Karoli, Rajasthan, where the Madan Mohan deities were shifted. So in 1868, one incident happened. There was one lady from the Gujjar community there. They would supply milk to Radha Madan Mohan, and she was very attached to Madan Mohan. Every day she would come for Mangalarti. Those of you who have gone to Karoli, the temple is on the hill. So you have to climb the hill to go up. For the deity was there. She would go every day morning at 4:30 for Mangalarti, very attached to the deities. So on this particular and in the night she would make different garlands, different things for Krishna. So one day in a small room, she is a poor lady in her hut, in her small room, on the bed she was sitting and making garlands, and suddenly she saw, guess what, who was there in her cot sitting? Madan Mohan. She said, Madan Mohan, from the altar on top of the hill, Madan Mohan had appeared in her cot, being pleased by her bhakti. He said, I am so pleased by your devotional service, I have come to receive your love. And she was so stunned. And then she said, how can I serve you? Madan Mohan said, I am very tired, massage my feet. And Madan Mohan lied down on her cot, and she started massaging Madan Mohan's feet whole night. The deity came to her cot, her hut, her house. She was massaging, and just before the early hours, she just lied down next to Madan Mohan, and holding Madan Mohan, she also took a little nap. And suddenly she realized, time for Mangalarti, 4:30, she has to get up. But before her, Madan Mohan got up, because he has to first go. for Mangalarti, before devotees come, Madan Mohan got up and he realized, arey, time ho gaya, I have to go. And he got up from the cot and he ran. But when he was running, in hurry, He didn't take his yellow shawl. He picked up, now this lady, she had a old worn out quilt, and he just picked it up and he put it on him and he ran. And in a few minutes later she got up, time for Mangalarti, and then she also ran for darshan. And she didn't have her quilt. She didn't realize that her old worn out quilt is not there. She picked up Madan Mohan's golden colored shawl, golden yellow colored shawl, and she put it on her, and she also ran up the hill. Meanwhile, the pujari opened the altar. During those days, there was no light, tube lights. So when the altar opened and the aarti was about to start, when the aarti started, everyone saw what? They saw a dirty old quilt decorating Madan Mohan. And then people are shocked how this happened. And meanwhile, this lady came, she was standing in the back as usual during Mangalarti. And when the lamp was shown to the audience, the devotees, participants, and people realized, oh, this Mataji, she is having Madan Mohan's shawl. And everyone screamed, Madan Mohan's shawl is here. And of course, they all knew her. She is a very sincere devotee. They knew that she wouldn't have stolen it. And then they asked her, and she was very shy. And very reluctantly, she told what transpired the previous night. So this incident happened on an Amavasya night. So because of that, every Amavasya, even today, more than 150 years almost, this, to commemorate this incident, on every Amavasya, that old worn out quilt of that lady, blanket, that is offered to Madan Mohan as an offering of love by this Mataji. So this incident is honored. This is how Krishna reciprocates. Such a sweet pastime. So the deities reciprocate with devotees. And for those who are attracted to deities, in ISKCON we have, it's a festival. So many deities. Which are the most beautiful deities in ISKCON? Now if you ask this question, what will devotees say? Radha Shyam Sundar? Then? Radha Gopinath? What else? Radha Rasbihari, yes. Radha Madhav, Mayapur. Panchatattva. So many deities. Radha Vrindavan Bihari, Hari Bol. Vada. So many beautiful deities are there. So once Gaurupal Prabhu asked me this question, we were sitting, which are the most beautiful deities, when we were discussing. And then he said a very beautiful, very deep point, you know. I was sitting in his room, just last week, he was saying, the most beautiful deities are those which we serve. The deities we serve, they are the most beautiful. Because they reciprocate with the devotee. So we are so fortunate, we have so many deities to serve. And we can feel a tangible reciprocation in our lives also. Every devotee who has sincerely practiced Krishna consciousness and has offered prayers, he will certainly feel we will know that we are fallen, but we will somehow feel happy also. You know? Sometimes, people get into depression. I'm fallen. I'm miserable. No, but if you are constantly glorifying the deities, praising the deities, and getting attached to the deities, then we will feel gratitude. We will feel happy. And in that state of happiness, a natural result of that happiness is to feel fallen. You know, that is a more safer way of feeling fallen, which is driven by gratitude, rather than going downwards. First, if you feel already material world, everybody is getting kicked and suffering so much, and then if you on top of it, if you keep saying condemning ourselves as fallen and you know I'm worse than a worm in the stool, if you say that constant, already you are feeling miserable, and if you add that, then you become very self conscious. But if you are deity conscious, if you are Krishna conscious, glorifying Krishna and expressing gratitude, then in that gratitude, a devotee will happily condemn himself. In the sense, he will feel he is fallen. So like that. So deities do reciprocate, and they fill the hearts with a lot of joy. And also we have a lot of, you know, negativity in our heart. And when we get attached to Krishna, then we get the strength to negotiate that actually. In a sense, we are able to maneuver through those ups and downs in our lives. There is a famous story of Michelangelo, you know, who was a great painter. So he made a beautiful painting once. He wanted to make a beautiful painting of Jesus and Mary. Infant Jesus, baby Jesus and Mary. So he went to one place and he looked for a lady with the most beautiful child. And when he saw, he requested her, can I make Mary and Jesus painting based on your... So she agreed. So he made a beautiful painting. So that painting was over. And many years passed. After many, many years, Michelangelo again wanted to paint Jesus, but Jesus being betrayed by who? Judas. So he wanted to paint Judas betraying Jesus. So for that he needed a man who looked really evil and nasty. So who could be Judas? So
So he did lot of search. Then he found one criminal who was in a jail. He looked really mean. So he got permission of the authorities. He said, and he asked that man, "Can I paint you for Judas?" So he agreed, and he was really mean looking. So he was painting, and this man suddenly started laughing. So Michelangelo asked him, "Are you laughing?" So this man said, "Are you Michelangelo?" He said, "Yes." "Yeah. Many years ago, my mother would tell me that when I was a small boy, Michelangelo came and painted me as infant Jesus." So you are laughing, but what is the moral of the story? Same person, by association, by time, see what happened. Who looked so divine, became such a big criminal. So all of us, you know, we when we are born, we are innocent, we are nice. But what happens to us? So material energy is very powerful. So we, in a moment, we could be washed away. But if we are attached to Krishna in the form of his deities, we have hope. Deity worship provides us a chance. It provides us a chance to get attached and save ourselves from such calamities. And also, in deity worship, the main goal is, in Archanam, the main activity is how Krishna is pleased. Like when we have Chappan Bhog offering, when we have 1000 days, what is the goal? Krishna. Krishna is the enjoyer. This is an amazing concept. In no other religion you will find, even in traditional Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Judo, all religions, God exists in connection to me. Why? God is our bread provider, means he provides to me. God is taking care of all of us, means God's existence is in relation to me. But in Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, we have God independent of us. Means if I exist or don't exist, material world exists or not exists, God is a supreme enjoyer. Krishna, all other conceptions of religion as presents God as in a very narrow existence. God has a very narrow identity. But we have God is a supreme enjoyer. Krishna is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. So, and that in deity worship, we are able to serve Krishna and to our heart's content like this. For like this, there are many pastimes, and I don't know if we have time, but I would like to briefly share one very interesting pastime of our acharyas, which shows how deities, when we are attached to deities, then life becomes blissful, not just for ourselves, for everyone. If we are attached to deities, if we are attached to Krishna, then everywhere there is auspiciousness, there is celebration, there is festival. So one of our main acharyas is Madhavendra Puri, and he would be in Vrindavan. Premamatta nai tanra ratri dina gyan, kshane ote kshane pade nai sthan asthan. Morning, night he would be chanting Krishna's name, completely absorbed. He was in Govindakund, chanting in Govardhan, Krishna's names. So that time, one very amazing incident happened. So we don't have the time to go into all the details, but I'll just mention. Essence of this pastime is, Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna so much that Krishna became a thief for him. Krishna is already known as thief, butter thief. But Krishna did some very special pastime for Madhavendra Puri. Purve Madhav Purir Lagi Kheera Khaila Chori Ataeva Nama Hoila Kheera Chor Hari. So Purve Madhav Purir Lagi, Madhav Puri was such a nice devotee that Kheera Khaila Chori, Lord stole Kheer for him. Ataeva Nama Hoila, therefore this Lord has got the name Kheer Chor Hari. Hari himself means thief, one who takes away everything. Kheer Chor Hari, two adjectives are used for Krishna. So what happened? So he was there in Govindakund doing bhajan, and he was just absorbed. He would not bother about eating, sleeping. So one boy came with a pot of buttermilk, and he said, "Babaji, why are you fasting? In our village nobody fasts. Everybody begs and eats, and if they fast then I come and give them. You take this buttermilk." And just Madhavendra Puri was so stunned by the beauty of that boy. Balakera Saundarya Deki Hoila Santosh Tahara Madura Vake Gela Bhuka Shosh. So Madhavendra Puri saw this beautiful boy, and just listening to his words, all his hunger thirst went. So he kept that pot of butter and he drank. And after that he also broke that pot into small pieces and kept that, because that was also so much nectar. And he just was so absorbed, and he was chanting Krishna's names in the night. and in the night he fell little, he got little sleep, and that dream, that boy came. I said, I am hiding here in the bushes. I was actually, Vajranath had installed me, but when the Muslims attacked, I was hidden here in these bushes, and I was been waiting for you. When will my devotee Madhavendra Puri come and serve me? Bahudina tomar pata kori nirikshan, kabe asi Madhav ama koribe sevan. I've been waiting for a long time. When will my dear devotee Madhavendra Puri come and serve me? And I am completely captured by you, Madhavendra Puri. I want to be served by you, and I want to deliver the whole world through you. What an amazing reciprocation. Tomar prema vashi kori seva angikar, darshan diya nistari ba sakala sansar. Tomar prema vashi, I am captured by your love. So I want to give darshan to the whole world and deliver the world. What an amazing thing. Krishna is saying, I am captured by your love, so I want to come as Gopal, DT, so that the whole world can be delivered. This is exactly how Krishna reciprocated to Srila Prabhupada also. Captured by Srila Prabhupada's love, Krishna appeared in ISKCON, so many DTs, so many temples all over the world, to deliver the whole world. That's why Barsana Maharaj says that Srila Prabhupada did not install DTs, he installed dhams, holy places. You know, so if you see in Pittsburgh, what we have, New Vrindavan. In France, Paris, we have New Mayapur. And San Francisco, New Jagannath Puri. So Srila Prabhupada actually installed, and DTs, Radha Londonishwar, Radha Parisishwar. So like that, beautiful. Prabhupada said also once in Paris, when he installed the Paris Ishwar, that the French women are most beautiful, so Krishna has come to get some French gopis. So he has come as Radha Paris Ishwar. So like that, so you see that in fact Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport there in that Jaitanya Charitam, this is the fourth chapter of Madhya Lila. Srila Prabhupada says that one cannot know Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. Very, very striking statement. And deity worship, getting attached to Krishna in the form of the deities, provides us an opportunity to become a lover of Krishna through the service. And then we see Srila Prabhupada installed deities, and people were attached to deities. Gauranga Prabhu was telling me once after his visit from America, that he visited many temples and there were a lot of problems many, many years ago. And he said all these temples were run by some Matajis. They were just continuing, because they were attached to deities. When there was whole community had broken up, things were going topsy-turvy. There were a few people, selected people, some Matajis, few old Prabhujis, at different temples. They kept the center running, the temple running, because of their attachment to Krishna, their attachment to deities. And if you don't get attached to deities, people think, ek hai stone hai, isme kya reciprocation hota hai. No, people find, see, if you don't get reciprocation from Krishna in the form of deities, we will look for reciprocation in other things. In 2004, there was a big news, I remember I reading, that time the Russian Prime Minister, he was very attached to his dog. And he said, it was a big news that he consults his dog more than the KGB. And he also had admitted in an interview, he had mentioned that, he had a Labrador, some brand, some species, and it was very, and the dog's name was Kobe. So he said, my Kobe gives me very good advice. He had said it in an interview. So a prime minister of a country takes advice from his dog. So if a dog can give you advice, won't Krishna reciprocate with you if you pray to him? If a person can feel reciprocation from people of this world, won't we feel reciprocation from the Supreme Lord? We will. And Srila Prabhupada, therefore, is the best person, because he is like following the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, attached to Krishna, revealed Krishna to the whole world. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was a young boy, as Abhay Charan, as a young boy Abhay, he would every day morning see his father do deity worship. He says, my father's main business was deity worship. Cloth business was extra. Because he says his father would get up in the morning and do puja till 1 o'clock, then take lunch, go to shop, and in the shop also he would take rest for 1 hour, then he would manage his shop, come back at 8 o'clock or something from the shop, and again do puja at home. And Abhay would wake up many times hearing the ding 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 puja bell, and he was very attached to Radha Govinda deities in his neighborhood. And he and his sister Bhavatarini, they would fly kites, they would play, and they would be always going to Radha Govind and praying for everything, for small, small things. And Srila Prabhupada says that when he was a young boy, he told his father, I want my own set of duties. So his father gave him Radha Krishna duties, and he would worship them every day. And when Prabhupada went to college, he became attached to Gandhi's movement, and he was busy in college, theater, politics, literary groups. So, and he didn't have time to worship the deities. So he packed them in a box and kept them in a cupboard. And he was fully involved in college politics and all those things, studies. And one day, the Radha Krishna deities came in the dream of Abhay, Prabhupada. And they said, Abhay, why have you locked us in your cupboard? We want to take service from you. Then immediately Abhay got up and he opened the cupboard and resumed his worship of the deities. So like this, our acharyas have been attached, and they have taught us to be attached to Krishna like this. When Srila Prabhupada went to Atlanta, and there is a lecture, you can hear it. It's a 4-minute arrival address. Prabhupada begins by saying, oh, here we have Gaur Nitai, so munificent. Parama Koruna Pahuduijana Nitai Gaur Chandra. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are most merciful. And then Prabhupada breaks down. He is just not able to contain his ecstasy. He starts crying. And Saswarup Maharaj writes a beautiful purport to this incident in Prabhupada Lilamrita. He says, Srila Prabhupada was always remembering Krishna. He was always remembering Gaur Nitai. But when he would see deities like this, many times he would break down, or he would go into transcendental ecstasy. Exactly like Akrura. Akrura always remembered Krishna when he was going to Vrindavan. He was constantly absorbed in Krishna. But when Akrura actually saw Krishna's footprints when he entered Vrindavan, he went into ecstasy. Similarly, Prabhupada was always Krishna conscious. He always was remembering Gaur Nitai. But when he actually saw Gaur Nitai manifesting in such a God-forsaken place, you know, in Latin American countries, Prabhupada would go. Srila Prabhupada would go into ecstasy. So like this, Madhavendra Puri then discovered Gopal, and then they had a big ceremony of installing Gopal, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how so many devotees, all the villagers came. Everyone in Govardhan was attached to this Gopal deity. And Kaviraj Goswami describes the installation ceremony, how so many devotees bought so many food items. There is so many verses, 50-60 verses only on prasad. Who bought what, and there was this sabzi. Actually, Kaviraj Goswami was a great cook himself. So, you know, when great cooks, he's already a great cook and he's writing about Lord's pastime. So, whenever Prasadam section comes, he writes in minute detail. So, very nice, you know, when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila, you will find Kaviraj Goswami is giving detailed descriptions of how the Prasadam bhoga was offered to Gopal. Gopal was surrounded by rice, then the second circle was vegetables, then there was different kinds of dal. Like this, Gopal was offered all this. And then he also writes that 10 brahmanas were cooking rice, 6 were cooking dal, and there were, he also says, 5 brahmanas were in charge of putting ghee on chapati. Yahan tak details hai. You know, such sweet descriptions are there about serving the deities. Then he says how different devotees came and offered different gifts to Gopal. Like somebody came, some rich businessman came and said, okay, I will sponsor all the utensils for Gopal's cooking. And some Kshatriya came and said, okay, I will manage all the construction of the wall and boundary for this area. And somebody came and everyone came and donated one cow. Kaviraj Goswami says, Gopal became very rich. He's a supreme lord. Says Gopal became very rich. So like that, this festival happened because then other villages came. They said, "Ore, itna bada festival, humko bhi karna hai. So tomorrow we will sponsor the festival." So like this, 2 years non-stop, every day there was festival for Gopal. So actually this was the Vedic culture, you know. Till recently, I remember when I was growing up as a small boy in a village which was centered around deity worship, every day there would be festival. I remember every day evening I would be seeing dramas and prasadam every day in temple only, you know. That earlier when the villages were centered around the temple. Even today, if you go to Dharmasthala, Udupi, many places, you will get free lunch, free prasad in the evening, in the afternoon. Because no one would go hungry. People would have less money. See, individually they would have less money. But everybody was satisfied because their life was centered around the main temple of the village. And they would all gather there. Nowadays, now I went to Udupi recently, nobody was there for that evening program and class. Everybody was watching IPL at home. So times have changed. But till recently, this culture, what Madhavendra Puri was happening in Vrindavan, it was happening in India. In fact, 100 years ago, I read one book recently by Edward Cox. I was very curious to read that book because this title of the book was My 40 Years in India. This man was a police inspector in India from 1830 to 1870, something like that. And he writes in detail about Indian life in 1840s, 1850s. So I was very curious to know how life was because he was an inspector in Bombay also for some time. So he writes about Bandra, he writes about, Thane area and what happened, how people would eat, sleep, die, how they would, all their lifestyle he writes. So I was very curious. So he writes in one place, Bandra, there was too much crowd. There are more than 150 people in the railway station. It was too overcrowded. He is saying it is overcrowded. So I was reading that book with great fascination and curiosity. And then he writes, he compares the Indians with the British. Because he's from England. He would keep going once in 2 years. And then he says, I saw that in my country, people had much more wealth and much more holidays. Prosperity. But in India, I would see people are happier. And they would eat better in India. Although they would have less, and he writes in detail all the things they would eat. And then he says, a very nice point. He says, for us in Western countries, holiday means an opportunity to enjoy. Whereas in the India, I observed that holiday means immediately a spiritual activity. They would look for an opportunity to go to holy place and they would perform some austerity. So he's comparing and he says that's why they are happier. So when life was centered around Krishna, temple, deities, life is much more peaceful. So Madhavendra Puri like that, Gopal, and after the 2 years of worship, again Gopal came in the dream of Madhavendra Puri and said, I want Chandan because I'm still feeling hot. So you get Chandan from Malaya Hills. So then Madhavendra Puri goes to He comes to Remuna on his way to Malaya Hills. So when he comes to Remuna, what happens? There he sees that there is Gopinath deity there who is offered Amrita Keli, the most nectarine kheer which is not offered anywhere else. So when Madhavendra Puri sees that kheer is offered to Gopinath, he gets a desire to get little bit of that taste of that Mahaprasad. Why? So that he can Ayachita Kira Prasad Alpayadi Pai Swadajani Taiche Kir Gopale Lagai. So he says Ayachita Alpayadi Pai Kir Prasad. If I can get that Kir Prasad little, then I will know the taste. Swadajani Taiche Kir, same Kir Gopale Lagai. I will offer that to my Gopal in Govardhan. So in that mood he desired. And then immediately said, oh, I am so sinful, I am offensive. How can I ask for that? And he felt ashamed and he went to the market to just keep quiet and he just wanted to run away. He didn't like it that he desired like that. But Gopinath observed that desire of his great devotee Madhavendra Puri. So what Gopinath did? So when the pujari offered 12 pots, Gopinath is standing like this. And when the pujari took the Mahaprasad, before pujari came, Gopinath took one pot and he put it behind him. So pujari didn't realize. He took all the pots as prasad and he was sleeping in the night. In the dream, Gopinath came and said, he told the pujari, get up. You didn't realize, but by my trick, I took away one pot because my very dear devotee Madhavendra Puri is in the marketplace. Go and give him this pot. So then that pujari became ecstatic. He got up, he saw that pot was there behind Gopinath. He took it and he ran to the market and he said, will he, whose name is Madhavendra Puri, come forward and take this pot of sweet rice? Gopinath has stolen this for you. You are the most fortunate person. Madhavendra Puri felt so ashamed. At the same time, he felt grateful that Gopinath had stolen this pot of sweet rice for him. He accepted it, but he didn't want to become famous. He knew that people will spread the news that Gopinath has stolen for me. So immediately ran away from there. He went to Puri because he didn't want to be there and become a big celebrity for whom Gopinath has stolen. But nature of devotional service is that Krishna, if he wants to make somebody famous, you avoid fame, but Krishna will give you that. Pratishtara bhaye puri gela palana, Krishna prema pratishta chale sange gadana. So out of fear of pratishta he ran away, but pratishta went before him to Puri. And when he went to Jagannath Puri, people already said, oh, Madhendra Puri has come, the great soul for whom Gopinath has stolen sweet rice. And this time, Madhendra Puri did not run away from Puri. He said, no, because my service will be affected. So now I will use this to serve my Gopal. So he told them about the need of sandalwood and sandalwood paste for his Gopal. And they all collected. They got the release paper from the government, everything. So they helped him. And then he came back. And when he came back, again he had to come to Remuna on the way back. And this time Remuna again, when he was taking rest. Oh, when he came, of course the Pujaris recognized him and immediately gave him Mahaprasad, Kheer. And then in the night again, Gopal came in the dream. And what did he say? This is how many times Gopal came in his dream? First time was when he had to be excavated, when he had to be taken away from the bushes. Second, for getting Chandan. And now third time he came and said, I am pleased by your endeavor. Now offer this Chandan to Gopinath. I will accept it also. I will accept it as, if you offer it to Gopinath, I will only accept it. So then he offered all that Chandan to Gopinath. So then Kaviraj Goswami, Mahaprabhu is narrating this pastime to his followers, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda and Mukunda, and he's saying that Pragada Premera Swabhava Achar Nijadukka Bigna Adi No Kare Bichar. Madhendra Puri was so much love for Krishna that when Gopal ordered him, get me Chandan, he didn't say, you know, I am a Babaji, I do bhajan, this is not my nature. You know, many times when we get service, we immediately say, Mera nature nahi hai. Madhendra Puri was so attached to Krishna, he just didn't think about Nija Dukkha Bigna, just went for pleasing Krishna. So like this, so this is the secret of happiness. What is the secret of happiness? Just please Krishna's senses. And when we please Krishna's senses, it is not that Krishna is in need of service. Like when we offer bhoga, when we offer arati, it's not that, oh, Krishna needs it. No, we are doing it for our own sake. Prahlad Maharaj explains this very beautifully. Naivatmana prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidusha karuno vrinite yadyajano bhagavate vidadita manam tachatmane pratimukasya yatha mukashri. He says, naivatmana prabhurayam, Lord does not need anything from us. Nijalabha purno, he is completely self-satisfied. Manam janada vidusha karuno vrinite. And when we offer respect, manam, to Krishna, it is Krishna's karuna on us that he accepts that respect. Why he does that? Yadyat jano bhagavate vidadita manam. When Krishna accepts our respect and our service, tachatmane pratimukhasya yata mukashri. It is like decorating your face. When you decorate your face, the reflection of that face in the mirror also becomes automatically beautiful. If you want to look good, do you go to the mirror and decorate the mirror? No. You make your face good, then automatically the mirror reflection also becomes beautiful. Similarly, if you want to be happy, what do? We offer glorification of Krishna. We offer all pleasure to Krishna. Then the individual soul also becomes completely happy. Srila Prabhupada was focused on pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. When Radha Rasbihari temple was being made, Srila Prabhupada got Radha Rasbihari deities and he promised them, please stay here in this. That time it was a small tent. He said, please stay here, I'll make a nice temple for you. And that time one Mr. N, he caused so much difficulty for Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada persevered, and people, Satsuru Maharaj writes very beautifully in Lilamrita, that Prabhupada's own disciples are wondering, why is Srila Prabhupada so attached to fighting with this Mr. N? Why don't we give up this fight? And then he writes that his disciples could not understand that Srila Prabhupada was attached to Radha Rasbihari. He had promised them, I will make a temple for you. Now how can you go back on his promise? And he told them, please stay here, I will make a nice temple for you. And then he says, Satsuru Maharaj says, just like when Krishna was bound in the coils of Kaliya, his parents were in great anxiety. So Srila Prabhupada was in similar anxiety when Mr. N was creating problems for Radha Rasbihari, because he was very attached to Radha Rasbihari. And so many problems came. At one time, Mr. N challenged that, I will come and break the temple. And he gave bad words to Prabhupada, and the next day he got a massive heart attack and he died. And then his wife, Mrs. N, she was equally determined to prevent devotees from making the temple there, although devotees were the legal owners of that land. So she sent she influenced the BMC officials and convinced them that it's an illegal temple, and they all came and they were breaking the temple, and the deities were inside, and the police also came and they were dragging all the devotees out one by one, and the temple was about to be broken, and devotees were so disturbed. Finally, at the last minute, some devotee contacted the neighbor contacted someone, and then to the political contacts, and then Mr. Bal Thackeray intervened, and then last minute, just when the thing was about to be broken, the temple was saved. And when this news reached Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, this will work in our favor. Krishna has some amazing plan." And when this trouble was going on, devotees are so scared, Radha Ras Bihari ji is going to be damaged, hurt. Devotees are so attached, and one lady, Gandiva Mataji and her mother Maithili, she was being dragged by the policemen. And this one, there was Mr. Rane, he was standing next and he was laughing. He was man of Mr. N. Unke team katao. He was very happy to see devotees are suffering and he was laughing hysterically. So this lady, she looked at that Mr. Rane and said, "The fire of your offense will burn you." She cursed him like that. And there are many people who are envious of devotees who are worshipping Radha Ras Bihari. There was one Mr. Matre, he was distributing pamphlets at Vile Parle station, ascribing scandalous behavior to devotees, defaming them. And there was one Mr. Tembe, he was an MLA. He gathered up all the people, life members, and he was trying to convince them to take over the whole temple. So basically Radha Ras Bihari was in a lot of danger. But because a pure devotee had installed them, a pure devotee had invited them, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna destroyed all these demons one by one. Just like Krishna destroyed demons in Vrindavan. Like Mr. Matre, because he was trying to defame Prabhupada, one day a big scandal was discovered of Matre with one of his, he was a trustee of one school. So one scandal of his and that teacher came out, and all the newspapers carried that story, and everywhere in Bombay there was morchas of Matre's photo with a garland of chappal, and he became such a disgrace, he could not come out of his house. Because he had done that. He was distributing pamphlets at Vile Parle station. Krishna destroyed him like that. Because he was attacking Radha Ras Bihari and their devotees. And there was another, this Mr. Tembe, he was MLA. He had gathered all the life members. And there was one big meeting he called, where they were about to take over the whole temple. And when that meeting was about in the morning, and everything was planned, and morning 5 o'clock when he got up from the bed, he realized he is not able to get up. Because he was paralyzed from waist below, and for the rest of his life he was bedridden and he suffered miserably. So Krishna destroyed demon number 2. And one day when devotees were doing Mangalarti, suddenly there was a loud noise from outside. They all came running. Ah, somebody was shouting. And when they came outside and they saw, one man was burning, he was in fire, and they saw that was Mr. Rane. And what had happened, he was a black magic person. He had one doll of Prabhupada he had made, and he was doing something by which Prabhupada will be harmed. But when you try all these techniques on pure devotee, it boomerangs, it comes on you only. So he was doing all that, and suddenly his mind went, because he was trying with pure devotee, he was dear to Krishna. So when he did that black magic on Prabhupada, he went mad for 2 seconds. He just ran to his kitchen, took kerosene from his kitchen and put it on himself and lit fire. And then he realized what he had done. And then he came running outside in front of the temple. He was just staying outside the temple. And he came and he was fully burned to death there. So then the devotees recalled how that Mataji had said, "In the fire of your offense will burn you." So like that, Krishna destroyed demon number 3. Giriraj Maharaj has mentioned all this. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. He protects devotees in inconceivable ways. So of course for us, all those miracles may not happen. All these dramatic things may not happen, but we have to have faith that, you know, we have to serve Krishna faithfully, sincerely. Basically, 3 things we will get 100% if we are attached to deities. We will get engagement. Practical, no? We all want engagement in devotional service. We all want seva. Engagement is guaranteed when our life is centered around deities. Second, experience is guaranteed when we bathe the deities, we worship them. And third, expansion of preaching. Preaching will expand. That's what Srila Prabhupada installed deities all over the world. So this will happen. And when we are praying to Krishna, the experience is, even if our prayers are not fulfilled, sometimes devotees feel, "I am praying so much, but my prayers are not fulfilled." No problem. Even if our prayers are not fulfilled, we come closer to Krishna. And that solves a much bigger problem than the problem we went to Krishna with. Because when we come closer to Krishna, then all problems solved. I remember when I was a new brahmacharya, I just joined, I used to feel very guilty praying, because that time every month we used to have test, Bhagavad Gita, every chapter exam would be there. and I came from an academic background, so I had this desire to get highest marks. Now in devotee circle, devotee community, that mood is not good. We are trained, you know, in the classes we would hear every day mornings, we have to be servant of servant, we have to help others, we have to be always aspiring to be background. But when studying for the test, you know, I would look for some special points and this, that, and I would think, abhi ye padhna, and I would read extra hours, and when devotee would ask me, what book padhai kar raha hai? No, I'm not studying anything. Very competitive. And then I would see devotees are very nice, they're serving. I would feel a big conflict in my heart. I would feel that I'm not suited to this place because I'm very passionate, I'm very ambitious, but devotees are very gentle. How can I desire to come first? How can I desire to get more marks than other devotees? This is not good. A devotees ke beech mein aisa nahi hona chahiye. But that desire was natural in the sense I wanted. So I was miserable. So one day I went to one senior devotee. I went to my counselor, Gauranga Prabhu. I told him, Prabhu, I'm feeling miserable. I come in front of the details, I feel, what am I praying? Because I'm praying to come first. How can I pray to come first? But I want to come first. Kya karu? Karu to kya karu? So he gave a very nice answer which has helped me so much in my Krishna consciousness. He said, Sharmane ka nahi. Bindar jane ka, Bhagwan ke samne, jo chahiye mangne ka. You can't, and he said, you can't artificially pray for, you know, I want pure bhakti, because you don't have that desire right now. So tumko jo chahiye na, bindas mango. Or mango, first aane ka mango. Bolo, Gauranga Prabhu jyada marks chahiye, bol mango. He said, ask what you want. And then he said a very nice point. After praying for what you want, then in the end you ask, one line you say, but just when you end the prayer, that Gopinath, Radharani, see, I prayed for all this. Actually, I'm a fool. I don't know what I should pray for. Mere ko akal nahi hai. So you please give me the intelligence that next time when I come in front of you, I can ask for something good, which is good for my spiritual life. Aaj to nahi, kam se kam next time ka mere ko intelligence de. So I like that prayer so much. So I could ask what I want, or end me. You know. So then I realized, wow, what a practical prayer. And then I remember, afterwards we had Bhakti Shastri in 2005 and things. But now I have no abhi anxiety nahi, abhi first, sab log first, mereko akela chhod do, bas padhne do, mereko bhago to. But that time, that young, that youth, that passion was there. But I see how Krishna has, you know, helped us transcend those. Like, you know, I had a big problem getting up in the morning. Then, you know, so you can go with small things. Like Prabhupada would say, when he was a young boy, you would pray to Radha Govind to help him fly his kite. You know. So of course, we are not supposed to go to Krishna with petty things, but the point is, we ashraya, you know, deities are our shelter. So when we approach them with a sincere desire that please help me, give me the intelligence to pray for the right things, let me take shelter, then Krishna gives us the intelligence. So this is our mood. Otherwise, no, we will constantly be in anxiety, constantly suffering. And when we approach Krishna in the form of his deity, we automatically become humble also, because we recognize that we need something from Krishna. Otherwise, people are suffering because they are full, you know, the mind's desires can never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. There is a story of one man who went to a doctor and said, Doctor, my body is constantly, whole body is paining. Wherever I touch, it is paining. So the doctor did all the tests. After doing all the tests were normal. Doctor said, sab theek hai, problem hi nahi hai. He said, no, wherever I touch, I feel pain. And then the doctor realized, uska finger mein skeptic tha. So wherever you touch, you would feel pain. That the problem was not in the body, but in his finger. So similarly, our mind as skeptic means, you know, we may have iPod, we may have all movies, we may do everything, but phir bhi miserable hai. Kyun? The problem is not with all these things. Problem is with the yahan pe septic hai, yahan pe kharab hai. So we can never be happy in this world unless we get Krishna, unless we get Krishna shelter. And pride, desire to be great, these are all so dangerous. You know, they just suck away the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Shamanand Prabhu was telling recently that during British time there was a king of Rajasthan. Very big man, but he wanted to buy Rolls Royce. That time Rolls Royce was the number one car, and they would not allow anybody to buy the car. They would first ask the financial, do you have the financial capability? They wanted proof, because they wanted this car to be bought only by rich people. So when they sent a letter to this king of Rajasthan that you want Rolls Royce, but do you have financial capability? Give us your report. He got so angry. He got so offended that they insulted him like that. So he proved that he has the capability. He purchased the Rolls Royce car. And then he removed the top lid uska, thod diya. And he made it like a garbage can. Pura usko garbage can banaya. Aur uska photo khich ke, he sent it to Rolls Royce. See, company that. See, this is what I'm doing with your car. His ego was hurt so much. So Shaman Prabhu was saying, people are so attached to their possessions, attached to their positions. You know, just if you get attached to Krishna, then all these problems will be gone. If because you're not attached to Krishna, then all these things become so big in our head. So let us take shelter of Krishna. Let us chant Krishna's holy names. Let us. This is the best way to please the deities. Come together, do hearing chanting, and this way we'll actually feel happy. Like yesterday, I was sharing in the evening program that sometimes devotees think, you know, if I'm happy, I want to become happy. If you want to be miserable, then the best thing to do is to keep constantly thinking how I'll be happy. Because this is the biggest illusion. Modern life is based on this faulty premise that goal of life is what? Be happy. No, Vedic culture is goal of life is dedicate your life to some worthy cause. You know, get attached to Krishna, serve Krishna. And happiness becomes a byproduct. You know, when we are engaged in service of Krishna according to our nature, then we become happy. No, when we become happy, doesn't mean the world becomes a happy place. No, world will remain the nasty the way it is. We become happy means we get the strength to tolerate all the difficulties that come in our life. When we say, when a devotee says, I'm very happy, especially somebody is 30 years in Krishna consciousness, and he says, I'm very happy, you should know he's not experiencing some, you know, some esoteric thing. What he's saying is, I'm strong, I can tolerate all the challenges that are coming in my life. That is happiness. So, and that is why Vedic culture is very sober. It's centered on service to deities, being Krishna conscious. So therefore, let us get attached to deities. Today morning only, I was hearing, just to conclude now, I was hearing this class of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. It was an amazing class. He was addressing a group of secular audience, not devotees. And I was interested because I was wondering how he's going to answer. One very, very tricky question was asked by one man. He was a big industrialist. And the way Maharaj answered that was amazing. This man is saying, I go to temple, I go to mosque, I go to Gurudwara, I go to church, I get the same feeling. So ultimately, it's the same feeling, no? Or is it that I should go to temple and get some higher feeling, and I go to mosque and I should feel something less? Are the feelings same in all places of worship? And I thought Maharaj would say, yeah, all places are same and you get the same feeling. No, he gave an amazing answer. He said, no, it's not necessary. In fact, your feeling depends on two things. When you go to these places of worship, mosque, church, temple, first, whom do you associate with there? What association you get there? That is the most important. And second, are you sincere? What do you want? You want some feeling? That feeling you can get by going to a movie theater also. You can get feeling by going to a bar also. What are you looking for? So then that man was shaken. So he said, okay, if my feeling is, if I'm sincere and I have a good association, then all are same places? Then again, there was a tricky question. Okay. So there's a very tricky question. So this time Maharaj said, no, still it's not necessarily the same. Because temples are given by acharyas and there are deities here and there is Krishna here. Of course, in principle, God is one. If you love Krishna, you can see Krishna in mosque, church, every place. But four times he mentioned, our acharyas have given us deities, the process of parampara. So we are very fortunate. We have this process given. So we can come to temple. And Maharaj said, then our goal is, we don't want to come to temple to see Krishna. As Bhaktivedanta Thakur said, we come here and we serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see us. And we have a beautiful Mangalarti morning program. It starts at what time? 5 o'clock. Devotees come. So we have, and you know, this is a beautiful program. Devotees can come and get shelter of deities. 5 o'clock, actually everybody has morning program. Even materialistic people also have morning program. Devotees also have morning program. The difference is we come and we greet deities. People stand in front of their mirror and they decorate them. They look at their own beauty. Devotees come and see Krishna. We read Bhagavatam, devotees read Bhagavatam, materialistic people read newspaper. We see early morning, we see DTs, people early morning, materialistic people will see their WhatsApp and Facebook, like that. And devotees will take charanamrit, people will take tea. So like that. So everybody has. So but when we get attached to Krishna, we become happy. We feel fulfillment, contentment. And this desire to please Krishna, satisfy Krishna's senses, this is very, very profound. Like, I don't know if you have experienced this. When we were children, you know, our parents would, mother would do that. She would decorate us. Like, you know, I remember going to school, just sit like this. Mother would put something on the mouth. Sometimes mother will tie the shoelace also. Pacharada. And you will be sitting like this. Mother will put chapati here, fir shoelace bhi bandhegi, bag dal diya, then you are running. Actually, this is what happens in the spiritual world. We are constantly serving Krishna like that. You know, somebody is decorating Krishna. In Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned how in the morning all these Krishna's friends would run to Vrindavan, to Yashoda's house, and they would say, Krishna, come, come, we have to go to the forest. And Mother Yashoda would be decorating Krishna. So then one boy would come and put ankle bells on Krishna, other would give. They would be helping Mother Yashoda in decorating Krishna. And then Krishna would keep his flute like that, and he would hit one boy on the head, then he would hide his flute. So everybody would be centered around pleasing Krishna. Because we have left Krishna, we have come to this material world, we want to take that position. I am the enjoyer. Everybody should serve me. I am the controller. So all that game, that stupid game which we are playing for so many lifetimes, that stops when we get attached to deities. Because then we are serving deities. We become conscious of Krishna. We want to decorate Krishna's form. We want to make nice bhoga for Krishna. So like this. So this is the goal. The focus has to shift from self to Krishna. Somehow we have to glorify Krishna with all our activities, with all our whatever we are doing. Ultimately, we somehow have to ensure that we can glorify Krishna. Idam mipumsas tapasa shrutasya va svishtasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayo avichitortha kavibhir nirupito yaduttama shloka gunanu varnanam. Whatever you are doing, your charity, your study, your work, your yajna, everything has to be centered on glorifying Krishna. And if you do that, by some inconceivable arrangement, if we even give up the process of devotional service because of some problem, but if we have been attached to Krishna somehow at some point of time, that attraction will drag us back to bhakti sooner or later. And this is explained by Narad Muni. Nave jano jatu katanchana vrajen smaran mukunda sevaka anga samshritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatum ichchena rasagraho jana. Once you have got taste in bhakti, then navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen, even if you give up the process because of some unfortunate thing, smaran mukundangri, the remembrance of the lotus feet of Krishna will drag you back. Somehow you will come back. And there's a real story for this. Radhika Raman Prabhu from America, Ravi Gupta, he gave a beautiful example when he came here some years ago. He said in his temple, he's from Florida, I don't know which place, I think Florida. Sorry? Boise, yeah, Boise, yeah, yeah. He was mentioning about his community there in the temple. There was one devotee who was staying in the temple and worshipping the deity, was Pujari. And then he fell into Maya because, you know, America is very difficult. The challenges are very strong. So he left. And then for 10 years or something, he was in the outside world. And with the group of friends he was with, they came to know about his past. They knew his past. You know, you talk. So one day they told him, let us go to your Hare Krishna temple. He said, no, 10 years I have left. I don't want to go back. It's all over. That was a part of my life. That was a phase in my life. They said, no, yaar, come on, you know, you should take us. He said, no, I'll not take us. So then these 3-4 friends, they forced him. You know this temple, you've been there and you are part of that. You should take us there. So they forced him to come there. And he was saying, I will not go because, you know, okay, that phase is over. That my life is over. So he was waiting outside. So they told him, come inside. He said, no. Then he came. He said, I'll sit in the corner. So he was sitting in the corner. And they were seeing the whole temple and they were going around. And that time Aarti started. And when Aarti started, and then they told him, come in the front, let's see what it is. He explained to us, what is this? So he reluctantly was forced to come. And when he came in the front, that time the pujari was doing Chamar Aarti. And when he saw Chamar, He remembered in 1 second the whole flashback of that intimate service to Krishna which he did, came back. And when he saw that Chamar Seva, he immediately broke down. And then he told his friends, Hare Krishna, Tata, you go back. And then he stayed back. And then he was saying, Radhikaramanpur was saying, then for the last so many years he's there in the temple serving. So this is a classic thing which Narad Muni has told Vyasadeva, that Vyatu Michena Rasa Graho Jana, that rasa, that taste that a devotee experiences. So that doesn't mean we become lax in our devotional service. So we actually take shelter of Krishna, and we don't take it for granted, because the material energy is very strong. So to conclude today's class, we pray to the deities that we can come together and hear, chant, render some service, be happy. Let us just respect other devotees. Let us not fight. And then chant and hear in a mood of desperation, because we need Krishna's mercy. We need to protect ourselves from the invincible material energy. Actually, relentlessly we are being thrashed. Burijan Prabhu said a very nice story. He said once a dog was chasing a rabbit. He wanted to kill that rabbit. So the dog ran behind the rabbit, and the rabbit was running, and the dog was running, and all the dog's friends were watching this race. And the dog ran, and then the rabbit escaped. When the dog came back, all his dog friends were laughing at him. Arey rabbit ko nahi pakad paya, haar gaya. They were making fun of him. So when they all were making fun of him, the dog laughed. And the dog smiled and told all the other dogs, yes, I could not catch the rabbit because I was running for my food, but that rabbit was running for his life. So then Burijan Prabhu gave a purport. He said, Maya is like that dog, you know. So for Maya, we are one another person, you know. We can be easily finished, but we have to be like that rabbit. We have to run towards Krishna, and we have to run for our life, because and deity worship, hearing, chanting, Krishna katha, seva. So all this is a very beautiful process, beautiful way by which we can get connected to Krishna. And from whatever background we are, we all have different varnas. You know, somebody is brahminical inclination, somebody is kshatriya, somebody is vaishya. Whatever propensities we have, engage them in Krishna service. There is no right, no wrong. You know, some devotees are very inclined to learn verses, bhajans, glorify Krishna. Some people, they want to do action. You know, some people, they like to collect funds. Donations are needed, so some people like to do fund collection ka seva bhi hai. So fund collector may be inspired to collect funds, and a devotee with a brahminical nature may say, kya fund collection karne ga re, bhagavatam padho baith ke. But both are right, you know, because that is their nature. Or some devotee may be wanting to find out from which verse is good, but somebody who is a kshatriya mentality, he may say, arey verse kya hai, essence batao kya hai, philosophical point, you know. So we all have different natures. Somebody is brahminical nature, somebody is kshatriya, no problem. Whatever natures we have, we all have enough seva in a community which is centered around deities. All of us have service, all of us have scope for serving Krishna and getting attached to Krishna. So with this prayer and hope, we take shelter of Krishna, remembering this bhajan, Hariye Dayala Mora Jayo Radha Natha Bar Bar Yehi Baro Loho Nija Sat. Bar Bar Yehi Bar. For so many lifetimes I have gone away from you, Krishna. But now, loho nijasad, now make me your associate. Now let me come back to you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Nitai Gaur Chandra ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.